Coming up on The Source, the race for the 23rd Congressional District of Texas. Republican Francisco Kiko Canseco is mounting his first defense of the seat he won 2 years ago from Ciro Rodriguez by just 7,000 votes.
Jobs and the economy, that's the top concern. As you know, this economy is in very bad shape.
The Democrats want to put this massive district back into the blue column, and State Representative Pete Gallego of Alpine is their nominee.
How we got here is not rocket science. You can't cut taxes and fight two wars at the same time and expect to stay within your budget.
It's a race that's attracting a lot of national attention and big dollars from political action committees. And with early voting already underway, it seems like this district is a political toss-up. We're going to hear from both candidates on the issues, but first, the news.
The Source is made possible in part by a grant from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.
This is The Source, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. The 23rd Congressional District is massive, starting in San Antonio and reaching all the way west, just shy of El Paso. It's been seen as a Republican-leaning but heavily Hispanic district, stretching hundreds of miles along the Texas-Mexico border. The incumbent, Francisco Kiko Canseco, is a lawyer, a former banker, and a land developer. He won the district by 7,000 votes 2 years ago, and political watchers say the district remains competitive and could switch back to the Democrats. State Representative Pete Gallego of Alpine had to beat former Congressman Ciro Rodriguez in a hard-fought Democratic primary in order to challenge Canseco. We're going to hear from both of the candidates about the issues. First up, Congressman Canseco.
Jobs and the economy, that's the top concern. As you know, this economy is in very bad shape. We have very, very meager job creation in this country. And even though Texas is doing a little bit better than other states, it affects us down here. We've got a lot of people without employment. We've got some pockets that are doing very well, like in the Permian Basin and in the Eagle Ford Shale, where there are a lot of jobs. But at the same time, it's reflected in the economy and the sluggish economy that we have. So those are the main issues.
And so in your district, has it been particularly hard in some areas, people looking for job growth, not getting it?
In some areas, it is. In some areas outside of those oil and gas production areas, we're seeing a lot of that.
And are people also concerned about the overall economic health of the country?
Very, very serious, very concerned about the overall health of the country.
And so what are you telling them? I mean, that you've been in Congress for 2 years. Hasn't been a jobs bill passed or any kind of remedy passed. What are you telling them your vision is for the future that you can try and deal with?
You know, it's the same things that we've been successfully passing through the House of Representatives. We've passed more than 30 bills that are going to create jobs, remembering that it's not government that creates jobs, that it's the private sector that creates jobs. But these bills would release the private sector from the control of the federal government that's keeping down the job creators and preventing them from going out there and creating those jobs. I think what we need is we need more of those bills coming in the 113th Congress, and we need the cooperation of the Senate to get them through, because the Senate has certainly not even deigned to debate them on the floor of the Senate in order to pass them. So we need common sense legislation that's going to release the energies of this economy and create jobs.
So I'm hearing from a lot of people that they're very frustrated with just that situation that's going on in Washington, D.C., where we have a Democratic-controlled Senate and a Republican-controlled House and nothing able to get passed. There's no spirit of cooperation, which it's not the first time we've had different parties in control of the different houses. So why can't we suddenly break through and have some sort of bipartisan approach?
Well, that's my issue. I mean, we passed bills through the House many times through on a bipartisan basis, and Harry Reid just refuses to even listen to those bills, even bring them to the floor of the Senate. Under the rules of the Senate, he has control of the door to the Senate. The other thing, too, is that Harry Reid works very closely with the president, and Harry Reid in the Senate does the bidding of the president.
And they say the same things about Speaker Boehner. What about trying to get together on these things?
Well, I think I've just answered that question. I've answered that question. We've tried very hard to get together with the White House. The White House gives an enormous amount of resistance. The White House refuses to even consider anything that we propose. And the same thing with the Senate, as though we don't exist. So it's very difficult to try and cooperate with someone that doesn't want to cooperate back.
And so you're saying that the solution for job creation is get big government off my back, and y'all have put forth some bills to try to do that, and including attempts to get rid of Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act.
Well, let me answer that, because I think in line with what you just said, it's true that there's been an enormous amount of growth of government in our country that's holding back job creators. But another thing that we have is we have this huge debt that's already surpassed by $2 trillion, the amount of net worth that this nation is, by gauged by GDP of this nation. And the GDP is growing at a very sluggish 1.3%. That's not good, and that's not healthy for our economy. We're spending way too much. We are pretending that we are not going to be facing with an inflation problem, and yet we keep buying our own debt, and that's going to cost inflation to every one of us. And if that's not a tax on middle class and all sorts of American people, we got another thing coming. We also have a huge growth of government and taxes that are looming that are going to go up on everyone, including job creators, come January 1. We have a looming sequestration that's going to cut our military severely. And not just that, but it's going to hurt our economy, not to mention the defense of our nation. We do have a very ill-begotten health care bill that no one knew what was in it. And now that we find out what's in it, it is going to be a disaster for our economy. And at the same time, it's going to be a disaster for our health care. Many doctors are fleeing the practice of medicine. They are fleeing Medicare. They're hurting Medicare. This atrocious bill took out $716 billion out of Medicare. And Medicare, on top of that, is going broke in less than 10 years. And we need to address that. So there are so many things that right now have been so messed up over the last 4 years that need to be rectified. We tried very hard for the last 2 years to rectify it, but we had the Senate turn their back on us and turn their back on the American people in addressing these issues.
One effort in the House to try and deal with some of these issues was the Ryan budget. And how did you vote on the Ryan budget? And do you think that that continues to be a solution that should be pursued to deal with our budgetary issues?
You know, one thing that's very, very clear is that the Senate has not deigned to put up a budget. We passed a budget through the House. We even considered the president's proposed budget. And what happened through the House is that neither a Democrat nor a Republican voted for the president's proposed budget. We passed a budget through the House of Representatives. No one else proposed any contrary to the budget. No one else did anything. It is a budget, and it's a workable budget that is going to get us out of debt over time, and that it's going to address the issues that drive our economy to such a miserable state that it's in right now. So I don't think anybody can come out and criticize it if they haven't proposed anything to the contrary.
So then that when you say the budget, you mean the Ryan budget that was passed?
What I'm talking about is the House budget, the budget that was passed by the House of Representatives for the fiscal year 2012 and for fiscal year 2013.
One of the big issues that we probably will be looking at after this election will be some tax reform. And what do you see as issues that people should pay attention to in regards to tax reform?
Well, first of all, we do need tax reform for many reasons. First of all, we have a huge overgrown tax code that reaches from the floor of this room all the way to the ceiling. And you need experts, costly experts, in order to decipher it. As it is, we have so many little loopholes within the tax code that they need to be eliminated. I am very much for a fairer and a flatter tax rate, so that that way everybody knows what their tax liability is and everybody will participate in the contribution of the taxes. Whether you're rich or whether you're middle class or whoever, you're earning money, you pay into the tax system. I think that it's high time that we look at the tax system in a very realistic way and make sure that it doesn't provide measures for social engineering or picking winners and losers in our economy or in our society.
Some people say that we can't cut the budget in order to deal with the deficit that we have, that there has to be some sort of increase in revenue, or where are you on that?
You know, it's very simple. We do not have a revenue problem. We have a spending problem. And when you look at the course of the last 4 years of this president, actually it's not 4 years, it's three years and some months that this president's been in office. He came into office with a $10 trillion debt that the nation owed. And now it's $6 trillion more. And now it's $16 trillion. We definitely do not have a revenue problem. We have overspent under the belief that money is always going to be available, that we have a bottomless purse to get that money from. We don't. And what we have to do is we have to roll back the degree of spending that we've undertaken over the last 4 years.
Your opponent, Pete Gallego, was protesting your flyer that you sent out using an image of Jesus in it, and asking you to not use that. So what's the story behind all that?
You know, we have a very, very strong campaign, and we're actively engaged in that campaign. You're going to see us campaigning hard and campaigning well. And I think that come November 6th, we're going to have victory.
You're listening to The Source on KSTX. We're talking to the candidates for the 23rd Congressional District, running from San Antonio all the way west to El Paso. We just heard from the incumbent Congressman Republican Francisco Canseco. And after the break, we'll chat with Democratic challenger Pete Gallego. We'll be right back. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking to the candidates for the 23rd Congressional District of Texas. We just heard from the incumbent Republican Francisco Canseco. We now turn towards Democrat challenger, State Representative Pete Gallego.
Well, I think the big issues that resonate not only in San Antonio but across the district are pretty much the same. Medicare and Medicaid are very important topics. With respect to the elderly, obviously Medicare and Social Security as well. Veterans and veterans benefits are a huge topic of conversation. Jobs and the economy, and then, of course, education. People with kids want to make sure that their kids have an opportunity to go to school and go on to college and make their lives better.
So are people asking you what's going to happen to these entitlements or these benefits? Are they aware of things like the Ryan budget or the voting record of?
Oh, I think people are very, very well aware of what's going on. I think they're very well aware of the fact that the Ryan proposals would decimate a lot of the spending on education, as an example, or the proposals that would privatize the Social Security system, or that would turn Medicare into a voucher system. Folks are very well aware of that. You know, at one time, the Republicans had even proposed, and Mr. Canseco supported privatizing the VA benefits, and all of those kinds of things people are well aware of.
Are they looking to you to try and change something that?
Oh, I think absolutely. I have never seen such a stark divide in the electorate, and such a stark difference between the candidates. I mean, the other day in San Antonio, when I checked into a hotel, as an example, the young lady who was working at the desk told me that she worked full time at the desk at the hotel there. She had another part time job, and in addition to that, she was trying to go to nursing school. And she said, "You know, every time I turn around, those guys they're cutting financial aid programs. Please do what you can to restore financial aid. If it wasn't for financial aid, I wouldn't be able to go to school. And I really want to be a nurse." And those kinds of people I'm meeting all across District 23 who tell me about the cuts and how the cuts have had an impact on their lives, and are looking forward to a change in direction, to someone who represents a district who actually relates to the people that he serves.
Representative Canseco says that the top concerns he's hearing is about the budget, about it being needed to be cut, that there's concerns about the deficit and cutting taxes so we can have job growth.
There's no question that jobs and the economy are a major part. It's a question of the approach. I've long supported a balanced budget in Texas and have been very supportive of that. It's a question of how you do it. Do you do it by throwing your grandmother overboard? Absolutely not. Do you do it by throwing veterans overboard? Absolutely not. And do you do it by throwing your kids overboard? No, you don't do it that way either. And those are the approaches that Mr. Canseco advocates, and that's why there's such a stark difference in our philosophy and in our approach.
And this district has become a very critical district. People are looking at it. It was a Democrat district. It went to the Republicans in the last election, and they're wondering if that's why it's attracting so much attention, to see if it will become a Democrat district again. So,
make no bones about it. I will tell you that the legislature drew the district to help Mr. Canseco win, and it's an uphill fight. He has a great deal more money and resources than I have been able to raise. I've been a candidate. I've been the Democratic nominee only since August 1st or so, and he has been at this for 2 years and represented these counties for 2 years. But I will tell you that there is, even with all of that, and even with all of the allegations that he's made about my religion, about my faith, about my voting record, all of these things that have just been ridiculously false, even with that, it's still a race. It's a horse race. And I'm really looking forward to meeting as many voters as possible between now and Election Day, because when they meet us both, they clearly make a decision that I'm the better candidate.
Well, you have been a state representative for, what's it been, 22 years?
22 years, that's right.
But in Alpine, in West Texas, but there's so many voters in the San Antonio area who probably aren't familiar with you.
You know, I will tell you that the district that I have represented has been about 18% of the state by land. The new district by land is about, the congressional district is about 22%, a little more. But as you know, that 4% contains a lot more people. And I've worked with the business community over my years in the legislature, worked with both Democrats and Republicans when there was a Democratic majority. I was in the leadership when there's a Republican majority. I've been in the leadership. And so what I want people to know is that I work very hard with people from both sides to craft solutions that make a difference, and that I have a goal and a passion for protecting and growing the middle class and their small businesses, because truthfully, that's not only the backbone of our economy, that's the backbone of our country.
And so how big of a problem do you see our deficit in the United States?
There's no question in my mind that the deficit is a problem. How we got here is not rocket science. You can't cut taxes and fight two wars at the same time and expect to stay within your budget. The budget was balanced at the end of the Clinton years, and you know, at the end of the Bush years, we were in a significant deficit. There's no question about how we got there. The question is, how do we get out of that? And again, there's a very stark difference between my approach and Mr. Canseco's approach. Mr. Canseco's approach would throw women and children overboard and throw you know, veterans and others overboard, whereas my approach would be much more measured and much more reasonable in the way that I would get there over time.
Looking at some of the some of the material that the Canseco campaign has come out about you, they say that you are a radical environmentalist and that you would shut down oil and gas production. And that's important because part of this district covers the Eagle Ford Shale and also
absolutely,
the Permian Basin.
Absolutely. And I will tell you that I have represented Pecos County and Ward County and Reeves County and Terrell County, among others, for 22 years, for my 22 years in the legislature. Some not for the entire time, because as the district has changed, counties have come in and out. But I've represented those counties that are oil and gas economies and oil and gas based. I was one of the few Democrats who supported the high cost exemption for gas roads, which allows fracking. I put my name on a resolution and worked with my fellow West Texans in the legislature to make sure that the sand dunes lizard didn't get put on the endangered species list, which would have impacted the drilling in the Permian Basin. I've been a tremendous friend to the oil and gas industry. Mr. Canseco knows that. But par for the course, I mean, the allegation is false. And, you know, it's very interesting to me that the guy who has the small business background and comes from a middle-class family is suddenly the guy who's supposed to be against business and against jobs and against job creation. That's simply not true.
The literature goes on to say that Pete Gallego has a record of raising taxes, growing the size of government, and supporting the socialist takeover of America. You sound like a terrible guy.
Don't I, though? You know, I mean, I've had people laugh at even some of his TV commercials with Red, and you know, the only things that are missing are the hammer and sickle, you would think, from his commercials. I am a huge proponent of the capitalist system. I grew up in a restaurant. I grew up in a small business. My family had a restaurant in Alpine, Texas, from 1917 to 1997 for 80 years. I know the American dream not because I've read about it, but because I've lived it.
We've been talking to the candidates for the 23rd Congressional District of Texas. Earlier, we heard from Republican Francisco Canseco, and we just heard from the challenger, Democrat State Representative Pete Gallego. Early voting is already underway. It ends on November the 2nd. Election day is November the 6th. You've been listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Wayne Coble is the TPR Program Director. Chris Udaly is our web producer. Paul Flav is in charge of TPR operations. Check us out online at tpr.org. The Source is a production of KSTX, Texas Public Radio.
The Source is made possible in part by a grant from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.